WCT's After Further Review, as this is one of Frank's favorite songs.
Do not listen to him. He is selling you snake oil.
We don't sell snake oil, but we provide an entertaining and thought-provoking sports show on 88.3 WXUT, Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and sometimes we provide a life lesson. Ain't that right, Frank?
Life lesson my ass.
Don't be a hater, and tune in to AFR Saturday mornings, 11 to 1, on WXUT. Hola. Welcome back to 88.3 WT's After Further Review. I'm Derek Lawson here. And guess who we got on the phone lines? We haven't had him on the phone lines in a couple of weeks. It's been so busy. We've had Thanksgiving weekend. Then the Rockets, your football team, gets to the MAC championship. And they end up winning 45-28 over the Akron Zips. And now, finally, this weekend, even though it's a cold one outside, we've got Brian Buggy, Mr. All-World beat writer for the Toledo Blade. What's up, Brian? You know, when you come in here, guess what we got to do? We got to give you this.
I'm doing well. How you doing,
Brian? Yeah, there you go, Brian. We got to give you that round of applause because you're always giving us the great information that you always give us. Hey, how's it going, man? How was your Thanksgiving weekend in the last couple weeks?
It was good. It's been really busy the last few weeks with basketball starting up and football kind of lying it down, but had a good Thanksgiving with the family and ready to go here.
Yeah, and then speaking about football, finally the Rockets get the streak over with. They actually finally win the MAC championship. They won that over on this past Saturday. You could have heard it here on 88.3 WXUT with Isaac, Jed, and Zach. And they won convincingly, even though the final score says 45-28. That was kind of a little bit of window dressing as Akron scored a few scores late. Was it really pretty much total domination? Even though they had played them earlier in October, it just seemed like Akron just was never in the game.
No, yeah, it was pretty much domination. I think they got it out to 38-0. And again, like you said, Akron scored some late touchdowns to make it look a little more respectable. But yeah, Toledo kind of had their way. They were even a little floppy at times, it seemed like. I mean, I think they ended up with 5 turnovers. I think Logan Woods had their 2 interceptions. And I think Swanson fumbled at the goal line on one play. And then there are 2 other fumbles, one on a bad snap and one by Shaquille Seymour. So it wasn't the cleanest game for Toledo, but they really had control of the game pretty much the whole way.
I got to ask you this. I saw here that for the this is the first time, and we've seen this happen before, though, but they've tied, that they've won the MAC West Division outright since 1998. They've tied a few seasons ago. It was like a 3- or 4-way tie for the division. Obviously, sometimes they've tied with Northern Illinois, but since they got the tiebreaker or beating them in the season, they didn't get it. But I didn't know that since 1998, almost 20 years, they've actually won the division title outright. No one's touched them.
Yeah, that's kind of a crazy stat when you think about it. I mean, so in 2004, when they went to the MAC title game, I think they had lost to Miami during the season, when they beat Miami in the MAC championship game. But I guess that one loss must have had them tied with another team for the MAC West. So it's been a while since they've claimed it outright. And with Northern Illinois' loss to Central Michigan in the last game, they did that this year.
That is very impressive. Now, I guess in a sense, let's talk a little bit about going over the season. And at first, you know, coming in, it was like, yeah, the Rockets are going to be picked to win the MAC West and picked to be the win the go to the championship. And, you know, as Toledo media members, we thought, yeah, we've seen this before. But it never seemed like to me, especially after that loss to Ohio, after they got pretty much rickrolled, it almost seemed like we never had confidence to say that, okay, this is a team that's outright going to just get the championship. I felt like everyone thought, when's the door going to, or the floor going to fall through? Did you ever feel like that through the season?
Yeah, I think people were kind of, waiting for the slip up. And then that Miami game, like you said, that brought up a lot of questions. And I know that was late in the season, but, yeah, it's still kind of was alarming how bad they lost that at Ohio. Then Ohio comes back and loses to Akron a week later. But, you know, they righted the ship. They I think they played Bowling Green that next week after Ohio and got back in the win column. And then they had that – they set themselves up for that huge game against Western Michigan where if they won, they were in. And they finally took care of business and handled Western Michigan, you know, pretty easily and then got to that elusive MAC title game.
What was the atmosphere like after the MAC title game? Did it feel like a monkey had been off the team's back? I mean, it's weird because, you know what? Talk about someone that's got been a career football player in college. Logan Woodside. I mean, think about this. Mm-hmm. Logan Woodside has been here so long that if you connect the ties to him, he replaced Terrence Owens.
Right.
At quarterback that one year as a sophomore and actually did very well and pretty much was going to guide the Rockets to a MAC championship game until he got hurt in the Kent State game and then couldn't play against Northern Illinois and Northern Illinois where they had to use their fifth string quarterback, Dwight Macon, and the Rockets, they stayed close, but they couldn't win. That was a year that basically, you know, got wiped away. Then, you know, obviously Woodside was redshirted. In hindsight, you know, like they said, good things happen for a reason. Just to think that that one time that next season, him and Philip Ely were pretty much neck and neck for the quarterback race. And some were saying, even I was saying on this show, that I thought Woodside was better than Ely. But in retrospect, maybe that was the great thing to redshirt this guy because after Ely left, this guy had two straight outstanding seasons.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy when you think about it, isn't it? I mean, he had that full season, like you said. Kind of, not even quite a full season, but close when it, his sophomore year when he filled in for Ely and then took the redshirt season and as you said these past 2 years he's just been putting up ridiculous numbers. It's crazy to think that in basically you know two full seasons and you know one almost full season that he's going to lead as the all-time leader in you know in passing yards and passing touchdowns and probably go down as one of the best, you know, all-time quarterbacks here at Toledo. So it was kind of the one thing he had left to do, and he's even said that that's the one thing he kind of wanted to get before he left here was that MAC title to kind of complete his accomplishments for his career here at Toledo.
Does he kind of surpass, even though in the record books he surpasses Bruce Gradkowski, but you know, I would say a lot of when I was basically a student here the last couple of years, everyone talked about, well, they always talk about Bruce. Hopefully one day we can win a MAC championship. No hating on Bruce. He's a great guy. But, you know, sometimes, you know, legends from the past sometimes can get on the nerves of the current players because everyone's always talking about comparing them to this certain individual. Now that the Woodside and these guys have done it, do you think now maybe more people talk about Logan Woodside and this team?
I think they will. Bruce accomplished a lot here, but, you know, Logan kind of surpassed him in almost every category. And, I think in a couple of years they'll be looking back and you know, talking about how good Logan was and how good this team was as well. I mean, 11 wins, chance to win 12 wins, chance for 12 wins and they win the bowl game. I think that's only been done twice, which is the undefeated years back in late 60s, early 70s. So, this could go down as one of the best teams. And I think that Logan not only deserves to be, but I think he will be remembered as one of the best quarterbacks here.
So basically what you're saying is that maybe in 5 or 10 years we'll have a restaurant called Woodside.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I was really happy for them. You could just tell. Was there relief on the seniors' faces? Because, you know, they were here. Obviously, the freshmen and the sophomores don't really know the heartbreak of losing to NIU or Western Michigan. For the seniors and for the whole coaching staff, like I said, what was the atmosphere like after the game?
Yeah, I mean, on the field, they're obviously, you know, celebrating. And I think it definitely was a relief. You could kind of tell when they came in there and were talking to the media there that it was just kind of a, like you said, a monkey off their back. And it was kind of the one thing that the seniors had left to do, really. And they've had so much success in the MAC. They've been one of the more consistent programs over the past, you know, 5, 10 years even. and they just had nothing to show for it, really, with titles. And so finally getting that MAC title kind of validated all that the seniors had gone through, and to be able to do that in their last year here, I think that was pretty special for them.
Yeah, because think about it, the Rockets did have really great success. I mean, all these classes, but the senior class, I mean, they never lost to Bowling Green. But think about it, in that time span, Bowling Green was able to win two MAC championships. Now, obviously, Bowling Green, I think they got a little, I'm not trying to hate on them because they're that school from down south, but let's face it, they played in a weaker division, the MAC least. And a lot of times after everyone in the West had beat each other up, they pretty much got the ragged dog or whatever of the MAC West. And they ended up going there with three times in a row, winning two out of three, I believe, wasn't it, for the Falcons? So,
I think so, yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, you know, that and then let's face it, the Rockets were the better team than those Bowling Green teams. But I remember on social media, they'd always say, well, yeah, you beat us, but you got the I-75 trophy, but we got this MAC championship ring. Was, you know, okay. Right. I got to ask you this, and there was a little bit of a comparison on the internet. Mm-hmm. Who's the – I know I hate it, but this is more of a media fan thing. Who's the better coach, Coach Campbell or Coach Candle? Some say, you know, he's doing a great job over at Iowa State. Some are saying he might be a National Coach of the Year. I believe – did he get Big 12 Coach of the Year, or did they announce
that? He did.
Matt Candle – or excuse me, Jason Candle got Coach of the Year in the MAC conference, but there was some debate of who is the better coach. Is it Campbell or Candle? Is it because Candle got the job done? Or some people would say, basically you got Campbell's recruits. But then again, though, Candle's a great recruiter too. So in your comparison, you've seen both. What do you think?
Yeah, it's hard to say because they worked so closely together when Campbell was here. Obviously, like you said, you know, Candle was kind of known as the kind of like a super recruiter who would go in and get these kids and go into their homes and get them to come to Toledo. So a lot of Campbell's success, maybe not due to Candle, but Candle definitely had a part in that, at least while he was at Toledo. But you've seen what he's done at Iowa State, which is pretty remarkable in his, I think, 2 years there. And it's hard to say. And then Campbell kind of continued what Campbell started here at Toledo. He continued to bring in top recruiting classes, and obviously getting that MAC championship is huge. So I think they're both great coaches. It's hard to really compare them, but they both have done great things for Toledo, and Campbell's profile is continuing to grow in the Big 12. So it's kind of tough to say who's a better coach, I guess.
Yeah, I've said it too. It is hard to compare. You know, I think that, but they're two different guys, though. I mean, I obviously, you know, most of the time I covered, you know, Campbell. Campbell, when I remember that, still, it's about a couple weeks ago. It was 2 years to almost when he left, and actually after, I think it was December 3rd, 2 years almost at later. Think about it. Campbell got hired as coach, and he won the Coach of the Year already 2 years later, and he had won a MAC championship title. And I would never have imagined being at that press conference when they introduced him as coach that 2 years later he'd be raising that MAC championship trophy. But like I said, I think I can't compare either. I think they all had – it's one of those situations where I guess it's a push. I think they all had good attributions. I think Campbell was stronger at certain things than Candle. I think Candle was stronger at certain things than Campbell. I think Campbell really got guys to buy into the system. Obviously, great recruiter, both of them. But, I mean, some people would say the edge would maybe go to Candle because he won the big games. Would you say that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's definitely, won the big games. Aside from, you know, maybe the bowl game last year, but being able to win the MAC championship, that's obviously huge. With, you know, the drought, you know, I'm sure you had to hear about it all preseason, even though they were picked to win the MAC, it was still, show us you can win the MAC, and we'll believe it when we see it. It was that type of deal. So being able to get that done was obviously huge for him.
Yeah, we got Brian Bucky from the Toledo Blade here on 88.3 WGT's After Further Review. Now with Candle winning this MAC championship, let's go in there. He gets actually some some rewards, so to speak. You did a really great article for Fiorella's success. His base salary, he made $675,000. Now, $425,000 of that is basically basic. That's basically a written check to him. And then $250,000 in annual marketing compensation. Did you do any research? What's marketing compensation?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much just like marketing obligations. I'm not really sure what all goes into that, but it's a yearly thing. Each year he gets that $250,000 for it. I'm sure there's certain things he maybe has to do marketing wise,
like appearances.
Yeah, right. Appearances and stuff like that.
I know. I think one of the marketing appearances that he does have is, you know, doing that coaches thing right before the Monday pressers. I think, isn't it? I think that's probably one of them.
Yeah, he does the Downtown Coaches Association thing, and then. Maybe even the coaches show. I'm not sure if that's part of it.
Balvin.
Yeah.
And then he got $125,000 in cumulative bonuses. And then this is what you had included in his bonuses. $30,000 for reaching 11 wins, which obviously they're going for 12. $30,000 for winning the MAC championship game. $25,000 for winning a MAC West title. Now, is that outright title or is that a tie?
I believe it can be a co-championship as well. I think it's the same amount for winning a share of the division title or winning it outright.
Then he gets another 20 stacks, a.k.a. 20,000 or 20K, for making a bowl game, and then 20,000 for earning MAC Coach of the Year. Wow. And then he'll receive an additional $10,000 bonus if the Rockets win the Dollar General Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to go to talk about the bowl. They end up playing Appalachian State again. Remember last season, they ended up losing to Appalachian State, I think 31-28 for the win. Some people questioned kind of Kendall about his coaching strategy towards the end of the game. And we talked about it a little. For one, the bowl games, as we've talked about here on After Further Review, that we call them the flea bag bowls. I mean, there's too many bowls. Maybe they should go to a playoff system like the FCS. I doubt that'll ever happen. But this. I hate to say it, this bowl seems cheap. It's the Dollar General Bowl. I mean, come on. Dollar General is not... it's not... How are they a big sponsor when it's the Dollar General Bowl? Sorry, you know, I don't want to cut any of them in any slack. But the other thing, appalling thing is, and like I asked you off air, because we got Brian Buckey from the Toledo Blade, the MAC, I know when I was sports director, did not want to see any rematches from the previous season. How did this end up happening where they're playing Appalachian State again?
Yeah, it is kind of, I think the initial reaction probably for fans is, you know, like you said, why are we playing this team again? We played them last year. We have this great season this year. And we're in the Dollar General Bowl playing them. And I know from the MAC's point of view, there's... four kind of tie-ins that get MAC teams that are bowl eligible, and then Dollar General Bowl had the first pick, so they obviously took Toledo and matched them up. And I think their other tie-in is the Sun Belt, and you know Appalachian State was the co-champ for the Sun Belt. I think Troy was the other co-champ, and they went somewhere else. I'm not sure where they went, but then you know this Dollar General Bowl takes Appalachian State, so. Yeah, it's kind of not too inspiring of a game, I guess, for Toledo fans, put it that way, but kind of how it goes. And there's, with the MAC, you know, contract with ESPN, ESPN gets a lot of say in which teams are chosen. I think after the Dollar General Bowl chooses, then ESPN gets their choice for the rest of the league. So it's kind of a weird system, but I think... Toledo having such a great season, you would have liked to see them challenged a little more. I know Appalachian State beat them last season, but I feel like this season maybe they deserved a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they played in the Camellia Bowl last year, so, you know, some people will say, well, you know, it's a different bowl game. But, you know, the fact that they, you know, are playing them now, hey, okay, now that you play who you play, what's the outlook of this team? Because I know that they would really love to get some revenge factor against this team. And maybe ESPN did this kind of on purpose so that, you know, maybe build a storyline. Because as we know, with these bowl games, they don't sell themselves, but a storyline will sell.
Yeah, that's true. I think they definitely would want, you know, revenge from last year. Last year was such a close game and then kind of a weird ending. you know, Jameson Beck missed the 30-yard field goal, something like that. So, yeah, I think that'll kind of be the main storyline heading into the bowl game, is just can Toledo get revenge from last year's loss to Appalachian State. And that'll be kind of the main motivation, I think, for the team. But they also have, you know, a chance to win 12 wins, to get 12 wins and kind of add to their impressive resume this season as one of the best, you know, years for Toledo in program history.
Do you think they will talk about this football team? And I don't know, maybe because I'm not in the, as a sports director anymore, maybe I'm not, you know, totally in the know, but it kind of seemed like that no one really got hyped about this team. You know what I mean? From teams in years past, that even though you had Logan Woodside, you had Terry Swanson, I mean, it almost seemed like last year's team, people kind of beloved a little bit more than this year's team. You know what I mean? Like, you had Mikey Roberts and you had Storm Norton. You know what I'm saying? Maybe, is it because of the names or what?
It could be. Maybe people have gotten a little bit used to, you know, what Ty put up those numbers just because of what he did last year. And I don't know if maybe they take it for granted a little bit or what it is. But I kind of agree with you that the feeling around the team and around fans this year, it really hasn't been a ton of, you know, this is one of the best teams ever. Like you said, last year there were a bunch of players like Trent Hunt and Michael Roberts, one of the big names that aren't on the team anymore. But I think this could still go down when you're really looking into the history of Toledo and some of the teams. I mean, this has to go down as one of the better seasons, you know, 11-2 regular season, MAC championship, possible bowl win, all that stuff. So, maybe that's not the feeling right now, but I think in a few years, kind of looking back, I think this team will be remembered favorably for sure.
Yeah, I think one of those things, you don't enjoy something until it's gone. And I really do think that a lot of the fans witnessed, you know, some history here. Maybe, do you think if they probably would have beat the U, maybe there would have been a little bit of talk? I think this year the schedule wasn't really hyped up either. You know, in years past, there was always that big, you know, Power 5 team that either was coming to Toledo or they were playing. And the U kind of rebuilding. They had a really good season. They kind of fizzled out toward the end, especially in the ACC championship and losing to Pitt. But, and like I said, I didn't think Miami was all that great because Toledo played very well for three quarters. But I think, do you think if they probably would have beat the U, do you think they would have, maybe it would have been a little bit more talk about this team?
Yeah, definitely. I think if they beat Miami, I think they might have been, you know, prep the rankings kind of later on in the season. Obviously, to slip up that OU wouldn't have helped, but I think definitely if they had beaten Miami. It was kind of weird because that Miami game was early in the season, and people thought Miami was good. They're maybe, you know, around 15th in the country. They didn't know they would rise to, you know, where they kind of rose to after, you know, beating Notre Dame. They did kind of fizzle out at the end of losses in their last two games. But, I think at the time, Miami wasn't as highly thought of, but they're still a top 15 team, and Toledo went into their, you know, home stadium and gave them a good game. And they put up, you know, 30 points on them, I think, at the end of the game. And I think they're either winning or trailing by less than a touchdown at halftime. So, it was a good game. They played them pretty well. And but if they had won, I think that definitely would have added to kind of the legacy of this team.
Wow, that's like I said, it'll be pretty crazy. So now the outlook, if they win the 12 games, get to Appalachian State, that'll be a really good. Let's talk a little Rocket basketball real quick. Rocket men win on a last-second shot from Trayson Fletcher against Detroit Mercy, and that's their first road win of the year. Your thoughts so far going in a little bit, we're in December of this team. This is like, this might be a special team this year.
Yeah, I think it could be. I think it'll be it's a really solid team. They look pretty good in their, you know, first three home games, and they had a really tough road stretch at Syracuse, at Kansas, at Cornell, which they dropped those three games.
Well, come on now. I mean, those are, you know, Kansas actually just lost, actually, which is kind of crazy. But, you know, you're going in the, you know, Fog Allen Fieldhouse and Bill Self, the Hall of Famer that he just got inducted into, that team, you just knew that that just wasn't going to – they weren't going to win.
Oh, no, not at all, yeah. But the Cornell loss is a little disappointing, kind of sandwiched between those two games that were obviously really tough. But, yeah, I mean, I watched part of that Kansas game on TV, and they just didn't – they were making everything they shot in the first half. It was just crazy. And they got, I think they ended up leading by like 50 plus at one point. And it was just one of those things where they caught not only a good team, but they caught them when they were just on fire shooting in their home gym. So it was obviously they lost big, but that happens when you play Kansas at Kansas. They responded with a win, a home win over Texas Southern, which is a pretty close game. And then the win at Detroit was obviously big, just getting that road game and road win, kind of making up. Detroit with the fouled the Detroit Mercy guy when there was, you know, like 2 seconds left and they were up by two when he makes both free throws, and then he comes back and hits the game winner. So it was a crazy game last night or 2 nights ago, I think now. But yeah, I think they're right where they kind of need to be. They have another home game against Marshall on Saturday, which will be a good test, and then they'll get ready for the MAC season.
Yeah, I can't even believe that the season's kind of just going really fast almost. But they're 4-0 at home, 5-3 overall, obviously, losing on the road. But they're good quality losses, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's something that, you know, we got to kind of, you know, put out there. That, you know, it's not like they're just losing to just a bunch of nobodies.
Right.
Like, their upcoming games, they got Marshall at home, obviously, later on Saturday. And then they play a week later, because I believe this is exam week coming up. So usually when exam week comes, obviously, they kind of just give the kids a little bit of a break. They play Wright State. And then over the holiday, they got Jackson State here at Savage Arena. So basically, they'll be at home for three straight games. And then on December 23rd, you know, right before Christmas Eve, they play Cleveland State and Cleveland. Penn and Philadelphia, and then look at this, Tuesday, January 2nd, in Buffalo, which will be a tough spot. They play UB, the Buffalo Bulls. Pretty decent schedule there.
Yeah, it's a good stretch of games. I think after the week of finals, I think Willie Jackson is eligible to come back for that state game.
That's right.
A week from Saturday. So that'll obviously help a lot, and I think people will be excited to see him play. Kind of heard a lot about him, how good he is, and it'll be interesting to see him when he's back on the court.
Yeah, that is true. He will be back. He will be an exciting player, and I think he'll add a lot of hustle and toughness to the team, and also a high flyer. It'll be a lot more highlights. We'll go over to the women real quick. They just dropped a game to Duquesne, but I believe they had a five-game winning streak, actually, you know, starting with after the loss to Louisville. They ended up beating Louisiana, Dayton, Iona, Maine, and St. Bonaventure, and then Duquesne in the Palumbo Center. They kind of got walloped, 73-54.
Yeah, I didn't get to see too much about the Duquesne game, but it was kind of just a, you know, slip-up on the road against, I think, what is a pretty good team. But like you said, they had won five straight, bounced back from that. Lost at Louisville, who's also really good, so that was another, you know, quality loss. They got the buzzer beater by Boyd to send the game into overtime against Maine, and they kind of gutted out a win in that. They've looked good. They've looked solid overall, I think, and been very good at home again, just like the men. I think they're doing fine to start their season.
Now they play Cleveland State early on Saturday, and then look at this, they go to the West Palm Invitational next week, basically, Sunday, December 17th, they get that all started with Western Kentucky and Southern on Monday, December 18th, then they're pretty much on the road, you know, they don't come back to Savage Arena, they play Detroit Mercy as well on Thursday, December 21st, and then they still are on the road for their opener on Sunday, December 31st against Ohio. They don't come back till almost a month from now when they end up playing, I believe it's Akron. So it'll be kind of crazy for them too.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Last note here, before you finish, because I'm going to give you this last note here.
Okay.
Like I said, the women's season basically be kind of crazy. They're on the road, which I kind of think that's kind of odd. Usually has some. They didn't really have too many home games early on in the stretch.
Yeah, it seems like the home games have been kind of scattered so far, and they'll have that game on Saturday, and like you said, it'll be a long road stretch, so fans will get to see him again, kind of beginning of the year during the MAC season, obviously. So, but it's been good turnouts, especially for the women's games at Toledo, which is nice to see. Mm-hmm.
And then finally, Brian, did you realize this, that the Rockets are pretty much the home of the champions? They brought home a MAC title in women's basketball, women's soccer, mm-hmm. and then the end of the year with football.
Yeah, it's been a great stretch for them. They got the first MAC, women's soccer championship earlier this year, and then going back to last year, like you said, the NCAA tournament appearance for the women and MAC championship, and so it's been a good stretch for Toledo athletics, that's for sure.
That is. What you got upcoming, Brian?
I have a big story on Logan, a feature on Logan Woodside coming out on Sunday.
Will you reveal that he's going to be opening up a restaurant in 3 or 4 years? Woodside's.
That didn't make the story, no, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. So make sure you, you check that out. Where can they follow you at, Brian?
On Twitter, at Brian Bucky. You can follow me on there. And, yeah.
Man, thanks so much, man. Got the meat sandwich of Toledo Rocket Sports, a long one because we haven't been talking a lot because of the holidays and the busy schedule. Man, Brian, have a good weekend, man.
All right, you too. Thanks a lot.
Right, thanks, Brian. That was Brian Bucky from the Toledo Blade, as you can follow him on Twitter as he gave you that information. Also, you can listen to this interview on After Further Review SoundCloud page and on iTunes. It's WXUT's After Further Review on SoundCloud. You can go to their page there, or make sure you download their app and look up After WXUT's After Further Review. It's got a picture of Frank Vashner and the horse's head. Same thing with iTunes. You got an iPhone? Why don't you go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast here, as we got Brian Bucky, the Toledo Blade, and basically Toledo Blade, Toledo Rocket Sports beat writer, does fabulous work. And like he said before, on the Sunday coming up, he'll have a story on Woodside. No, I don't know if he'll be opening up a restaurant called Woodside's or not, but he's got to go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks in UT Rocket history. He'll definitely be Punch's ticket to being a Rocket football varsity T Hall of Famer. Just can imagine, like I said, he was here when Terrence Owens was around and Eric Page. That's how long Logan Woodside has been with the program. Can you believe that? Anyway, congratulations to the Rocket football team as they won 45-28 to become MAC champs and finally bring home the hardware. I'm Derek Lawson here. This is 88.3 WGT's After Further Review. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we'll have more action here on 88.3 WXUT.
Maybe I did play just a little bit too much.
Judas Priest!
You won't hear us playing Judas Priest, but you will be hearing an entertaining sports show with myself, Frank, and David the Man of God Harris on WXUT's After Further Review, airing Saturdays 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and throughout the week with our replay 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. on Toledo's only alternative in your on-campus radio station, 88.3 WXUT.
Judas Priest!